It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I don't give a mother duck.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and Blondie. It's just Blondie. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags is with you. Remember, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Don't forget that. And I do want to get to Nick Caserio vindicating Clint Sterner. But before that, I did want to throw this out. According to Aaron Wilson, Texans workout former Colts cornerback Micah Abram. He also worked out for the Broncos this week as well. But they work out former Indianapolis Colt corner. Potentially, I guess, see if they can bring him in. But interesting that they may want to add at that position, that they're working people out to add at that position. And I mean, they let a few people go over there that, you know, knew the system and that was there during camp. But, wow, corner, interesting, interesting position for them to go work out. I guess you can never have enough.
But. Or I wonder if that was just a scouting report. Like, so. Hey, what's going on over there in Indy, man? Tell us about these guys. What do you think? We'll pay you a nice chunk to do it. Don't tell nobody about this.
I don't know how to make sausage.
No, don't tell anybody about that bag of cash under the table. But just tell us what you know, and then get up and leave.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, just it. That's out.
Why not, man?
Why not? Yeah, I guess maybe we'll see. Maybe they'll meet with a former Colt defensive tackle tomorrow. But that is the latest. Wouldn't think that they were looking to add at corner, but there it is. They've worked out Micah Abram again, as Clint is saying. This could be. Hey, what y'all got,
Colt? Advanced scouting.
A little advanced scouting. Is he a former?
I know you got cut, man. You're on hard times right now, man. You don't think you're gonna make it in the league, man? There's your 50 stacks under the table, man. Just tell us everything you know.
Well, speaking of corners who will be on the field for the Texans coming up on Sunday is Kamari Lassiter, not their number one pick, but their first pick in this year's draft in the second round. Here was Nick Caserio talking about Kamari Lassiter and what separated him from everybody else.
When we got started there in May or whenever we started working with the team, he started inside the formation there a little bit. Kamari was going to get some reps on the perimeter, so then we popped him outside, and then that kind of coincided with JP moving down to nickel as well. And as we worked through it, the more time that we spent, the more comfortable that we felt with, I would say, those two particular players in their particular spots. I'd say Kamari is a very mature, very competitive, very tough player. From the day he walked in the door, he's been the same player that we thought he was, or had we potentially thought he would be, but he's worked really hard. He just shows up. He's another player, doesn't say a lot, just shows up, just does his job. He wants to compete. He's not afraid, understanding that there's going to be challenges that those players on the perimeter of a formation face, because at times there's not a lot of help out there. So you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. Your ability to bounce back from a bad player, negative play, to put it behind you quickly, those are qualities that you're looking for in any player, specifically a corner. And I would say, you know, we're excited about the opportunities that Kamari potentially has in front of him. And we think he can help our football team, which is why we drafted him when we did.
All right. I hear you feel a little vindicated from his comments there about him.
Well, I do. I mean, my eyes don't fool me very often. I mean, but I have been wrong, and I was wrong on where what they were going to do with Kamari Lassiter. We'll see what happens with him playing on the perimeter at the NFL level, and we'll see if anything gets exposed. We'll see how the scheme has to be adjusted for him or not. But yeah, when I heard Nick, the very beginning of that, just Nick and D'Amico, the thought, starting him inside at the nickel defender and then adjusting and moving him outside and Jalen Petrie obviously being a good fit at the nickel defender spot, just the fact that he started inside makes me feel good about what I saw. I mean, they saw the same thing, obviously, initially when they laid their eyes on Kamari Lassiter, a guy that's probably going to fit better inside. And then once you move him outside and Petrie down, all of a sudden, hey, Petrie's pretty good. I like the combination. Our best combination of cover guys is Petrie at nickel and Kamari Lassiter outside. So yeah, I feel a little bit better about being so bullish on Kamari Lassiter and just what I still think, again, the jury's still out on who he is and what he's capable of doing. But yeah, the fact that Nick and D'Amico saw the same thing initially with Kamari Lassiter makes me feel a tad bit better.
Well, it's worked out, at least up to this point.
So far.
It has worked out. Now the live bullets happen.
In this thud-up camp they have in 2024, it's worked out well. We'll see what happens in the season.
It has, and Kamari Lassiter has been able to jump outside.
Played well.
Yeah, it's played well, and it is good because I think that is the spot where Jalen Petrie is best to be. I think as big as anything about Kamari Lassiter moving to the outside and playing well, but him having the ability to go outside has allowed them to put Jalen Petrie, I think, in his best spot, in his best role.
Agreed.
So that could be as much to be about him. By the way, passing along the captains for the Texans, C.J. Stroud is a captain. Laremy Tunsil's a captain. Stephon Diggs is a captain. Aziz is a captain. Jimmy Ward, Will Anderson's a captain. Captain, and then the special teams captain, Mr. Weeks, in his, I don't know how many years he's been here, but it feels like
enough to deserve to be the special teams captain, damn it.
It almost feels like it's pushing 20 to be the special teams captain. None of those are real surprises. The only one, when I think of the offensive line, like the guy leading a bunch, I don't know why I think Shaq Mason as opposed to Laremy Tunsil, but I understand they're gonna have Laremy Tunsil, but yeah. I think Shaq Mason, right? Laremy Tunsil, I think is the best player up there, and one of your best players, if not your best player. But captain
seems a bit strong, but you're talking about a guy that when you hold the title of being one of, if not the best pass protecting left tackle, if you're in that conversation, one of the best at your position in the league, when you're clearly one of the highest paid at your position in the league, I do think there's a lot of I think power that comes with that, and so any way you slice it, I would like to see Laremy Tunsil participate more often and be more proactive and from that perspective and be a leader from that perspective. But with the exception of that, there's no doubt that Laremy Tunsil in that locker room is a guy that a lot of folks look up to, respect, listen to, and I think when he does speak, I'm sure they listen. And
say,
so
all these other guys, you got to drag off the practice field.
Yeah. Yeah. unfortunately, in today's game, that just doesn't carry a whole lot of weight.
All right, so that's the latest there with the Texans. News about them bringing somebody in just to get a look at them, captains, and Kamari Lassiter. The real bullets start to fly, and Nick Caserio seems to be very, very excited about him.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, around the league, Trent Williams. That was the big news early this morning. They found him on a private jet with his big-ass dog.
Woo,
and he had flown into the Bay Area, and he is there just in time for them to get ready for the Jets Monday night. He ends his holdout. They just signed Brandon Ayuk to a long-term deal. Trent Williams gets 3 years, $82.66 million, 48 at signing, 25-plus on a signing bonus. They had to get this done. This was Like Brandon Ayuk was one thing, but I think we've talked about this and agreed that he is by far the most important guy that they had holding out. Trent Williams is somebody they needed to get in there, and they had to get in there for their team to run the way they wanted to run.
Woo, that's a big number, baby. That's a big number. What is that? 28 per?
He's put out, and I wonder, is that an extension? Because he had already, you know, he was already on the books and signed. He had signed the number one contract for an offensive lineman. I think Laramie got in there and slid over him, but yeah, he got him some money.
Well, look, when you talk about an offensive lineman that truly is the identity of an organization, like whether you're talking about from a leadership standpoint, he's the first out of the locker room. You want to talk about on the field setting the tone. I don't care what Brandon Ayuk does or how well they throw it, or at the end of the day, that offense is going to go as Trent Williams and this offensive line goes. And so paying the big man up front, getting him in camp at practice in time to get ready for week one is big. That's the dude right there, man.
I think Trent Williams is comfortable and crazy enough to have set out a game.
Probably.
Game where I think he's in a space of his importance, nor where he is his age.
Well, he's at the end of it too. Like, yeah. He's got to get it. He's got to get it now, or he's never going to get it. So it's time to play hardball, right? I mean,
he would have done it, I think. And it would have been a different hardball if Brandon Ayuk would have played it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think he would have. They would have found himself in some potential. All right. Go ahead, man. But Trent Williams is a different animal.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the new AP poll is out, and Florida State and A&M are the two teams that dropped out of the top 25. Florida State, they were 10 2 weeks ago, and they lose back-to-back games to Georgia Tech and Bill O'Brien's Fighting Eagles as they Boston College beat them down at home in Tallahassee last night to drop them out of the top 25. Clemson almost dropped out. They're sitting at 25 after their loss to Georgia. There's a lot that happened this weekend. A lot of disappointments. I'm sure you probably talked about Brian Kelly, who was disappointed in his team, banging tables and stuff. For me, Clemson was the most disappointing team of the whole weekend. And I know the transfer portal thing is something that he refuses to really jump into. But, Clint, it's more than that, man. Their offense looks archaic. Like, what they're doing, does it look like they have jumped into this era? They just look old. Well, everything they're doing. They got some athletes, Clint. That stuff, as I said, looks old, archaic. And that looked real bad.
Well, there was a time when Clemson had as good a dude, Jimmys and Joes, as anybody in the country. And what Saturday proved is that trying to stick to your guns and being hard-headed the way that Dabo Swinney has been and not embracing the transfer portal. I saw the stat. They threw it up on the screen. Clemson has zero starts by a transfer player. Zero start. Not this year. Not this year. They've got zero starts by a transfer player. It just doesn't make sense. And look, it's so outside the box that it's one of those you go, okay, if it works, it'll get you a damn extension for the next 10 years. But if it doesn't, your ass is going to get ran up out of here. And so I think the Clemson game to me is one where we can get off into, like you said, or you know what the athletes look like. At the end of the day, they just show that shows that if you don't embrace. If you don't embrace the transfer portal in today's football, you can be a powerhouse 2 years ago, and if you don't keep up with the ways of operating, you can be in the outhouse under two seasons. And that's the shame, really, that's going on in Clemson is they were literally rivaling Alabama for the most powerful program in America.
There's an argument that they were.
Yes, I know, yeah. Two natties, yeah. I mean, and here they sit, and it's all because of just stubbornness, hard-headedness, and I just don't see how that plays out.
But they're not embracing a lot. They're not embracing the transfer portal, which is insane. But offensively, they're not, I feel like they're running the same stuff that Taj Boyd ran.
Yeah, look.
I mean, that, like, There is no, and I heard Booger talking about this after the game. Like, there's no creativity in their offense. It seems predictable. You know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And to the point of the athletes, their passing game sometimes results into, all right, man, let's just run fades.
And then they throw back shoulders to anybody.
And when your athletes aren't quite up to, you know, what, Mike Williams,
yeah,
you know, Justin Ross, T. Higgins.
Yeah.
When it's not quite up to that point, like, then maybe you don't look. But they have not beat any team that's worth a damn in like 3 years.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's on their bad, schedule, man.
It's just they keep losing to everybody.
Dabo, look, when you look at week
Florida,
one,
that was
Florida was awful. Miami looked great. Cam Ward is now the front runner for the Heisman Trophy, which it's awfully early. Clemson looked awful. The USC, LSU, and even the Notre Dame and A&M game, at least they were close and you know, could have went either way late in the ball game. Michigan struggled against Fresno State. And they got Texas week two. I think Michigan played two different quarterbacks. I don't think they know what the hell they're going to do at the quarterback position. Vanderbilt beats VTech. VTech lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah. The ACC has had a rough go.
SEC didn't look too much better,
to
be honest.
If it wasn't for Miami, I mean, Florida State's 0-2. Clemson just got – I mean, that game was – I mean, Georgia, I think, played a C game.
Yeah.
I don't think Georgia played well and just blew through them. They could do nothing with them. But, Virginia Tech going to Vanderbilt, losing. Florida State 0-2.
UCLA damn near got beat by Hawaii.
They did.
Well, that'd been a hell of a deal on the West Coast.
Big Ten.
Whew.
That kid in Nebraska looked all right, though.
Yeah, he did. It looks just like Pat Mahomes, too,
what
doesn't he?
What is wrong with him, man? It's becoming ridiculous what he's doing.
His play style is like him,
his
too.
His play style,
he's
but now.
He's coached by Pat's quarterback coach.
But now he's making his physical appearance to try to look
the glasses and the goatee, or the, I guess,
the whole
call
haircut,
it
the, yeah. Go, the haircut. Yeah. I think he's put on weight in certain areas to make himself look like
well, that's on brand.
He's wearing 15 and everything.
Pat don't mind showing up a little dad bod.
Yeah, that, what's his name? Dominic. It's
Raula.
Yeah, Raula. His dad was a all pro offensive lineman. It is ridiculous how much he's taken to this. I'm gonna be Patrick Mahomes. It is.
It is a hell of a costume.
That's what I'm saying. It's one thing if it was a costume. He's going every day like Patrick Mahomes. Weird, but he does look like him on the field and then red in 15. All right, coming up. I don't know why Clint likes to disagree with Nick Caserio.
Yeah, do it again.
I don't know why Clint does. But Clint disagrees with Nick Caserio about the Texans quarterback. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Here's Clint Sterner and Blonde Hughley.
All right, welcome back in from the text line. Ryan, why don't you keep that hair color until the end of the month and go as this dude? Not sure what this dude is. I don't know if you sent a photo of some sorts in there. I'm not sure who that is.
We don't get picture messaging.
Maybe they left out the message.
I think that's a good point. I mean, isn't Halloween? When is Halloween?
October 31st, usually.
So, yeah, you got 2 months, man. Well, by that time, you'll have tips.
I haven't cut that down.
I think you're going to fall in love with it.
I don't think I am. I know I'm not.
You could go as JT, Justin Timberlake, back in the day with NSYNC.
Tough sell. Try somebody else. Maybe Wesley Snipes and Militia Man.
Yeah. Guess I just Pete'd you.
Yeah, you Pete Davidson.
Yeah, man. Pete Davidson and who'd you say? Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, I don't think I can pull the Justin Timberlakes off.
I mean, you pulling that gold hair off, and I didn't think you had it in you, but you are.
Not unless you went the Sosa MJ route. Yep.
Yeah, not going Sammy. Certainly not. not going Mike either. That's even deeper. You can go as Amber Rose. Sure. Okay. Pass. I'll let CJ handle that. Speaking of CJ, as they got a big, big game coming up, and this will be the first test on this deal. And I like this because Nick Caserio addressed this with Payne and Pendergast of, yo, all right, not only will the Indianapolis Colts have, what, 17 games to work with roughly to see what it was that C.J. Stroud did all last year with the playoffs as well, but Clint, Gus Bradley and company, the defensive coordinator for the Colts, hell, he's seen him up close two times. They've developed two different game plans in week two and in week 18 last year, and he's faced them twice, and he's had all offseason to know that they were going to face them in week one at home in Indy. And I find this really interesting, the thought process between, or the thought process by Nick Caserio in terms of what this will be like, in terms of what it's like to have 17 plus games of film, you know, coming up with game plans twice like the Colts have done defensively. This was him with his thoughts on year two, and everyone having film and being able to see what C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick were about.
Yeah, that's probably more of an off-season discussion. I mean, I think that's kind of a, you know, funny topic that everybody resorts to. And then if a player, for some reason, doesn't have a good year, it's, well, that's, it's because why, of the sophomore slump. Yeah. Well, I mean, the reality is you either play good football or you don't. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's the reality of it. So there's things that you can work on in the off-season. I think our offensive staff, Bobby, you know, Bill Lazor, you know, Gerard. I mean, they've done a great job spending time and just kind of figuring out, all right, what are some of the things that we do well? What are some of the things that CJ does well? You know, how do we put the offense in a position? And then who's the opponent? And each week there's going to be different challenges. The Colts are going to present certain challenges. You know, once we get to Chicago, they're going to present other challenges. So this league is a week-to-week endeavor, and you have to approach it that way.
All right, because this is what's been talked about. People who have talked about the Texans maybe taking a step back, and in particular C.J. Stroud having to deal with teams now being able to see him, now have tape on it. He just kind of downplayed it.
Yeah, look, I disagree with Nick Caserio.
I figured that you went the other way.
Yeah, I just wholeheartedly disagree. I don't think it's an off-season topic. I mean, we just had Sean Merriman on who played and was great in the league and said, hey, no, absolutely it happens. The adjustments are made. I don't know how you can look at it and not think that having a year of film of C.J. Stroud, his tendencies, Bobby Slowick, his tendencies, what they like to do, what they prefer to do, what they do effortlessly versus what they have to work a little bit harder at, what confuses them and what doesn't confuse them, what gives them fits and what doesn't give them fits. Like, I just wholeheartedly disagree. Now, look, there's certain guys out there, like, I don't know that you're going to learn a whole lot from Bryce Young and whatever the hell he was putting on film last year relative to 2024. I don't think you're going to see. But when you got a guy that's playing as well as anybody in the league, as well as any rookie that I've ever seen, and is winning ball games and like is carrying the team, yeah, I think there's some very valuable intel in the Texans game film from last year. And now these defensive coordinators have had an entire offseason. Just look at the end of the division. You look at the Colts, the Titans, and the Jags. Their defensive coordinators have had all offseason now to break down what C.J. Stroud and what Bobby Slowick did last year and how they had such great success. They're going to be more, obviously, more dialed in on what you have shown to do well versus maybe what's not on film or where you struggle. So I just think the whole notion that it's an off-season topic, I think that's silly. At the end of the day, I think all these teams, it's why you watch film. I mean, it's precisely why you watch films and pick up tendencies and look, there's no doubt about it. I think one very obvious thing relative to opponents watching the Texans game film offensively. One thing last year that was baffling at times, to be completely honest with you, was that teams allowed C.J. Stroud to have easy options. Now, C.J. was elite at finding pre-snap, before the ball was ever snapped, finding that easy option and getting it to him accurately so he could run after a catch. But when it's all said and done, it blew my mind how many game in, game out, how many just easy, quick, right now decisions and options C.J. Stroud had. I will be shocked. And I'm talking about from this very, well, I guess the first couple of starts were rough, but the whole way through the season, that was the case. There were certain teams that tried to suffocate. I remember Cincinnati tried to suffocate. No, what is Atlanta? It was Atlanta, not Cincinnati. Yeah. Atlanta. But anyway, there's, and obviously Baltimore did it. There's, I just think one obvious kind of 30,000 foot view, like making it as simple as I possibly can. Like, I will be shocked this year. One, there's better teams overall, so there's better defenses on the schedule. But I would be shocked if the path to good football and good quarterback play for C.J. Stroud, I'll be shocked if it's as easy and effortless as it was last year.
Show him different pictures.
Absolutely.
They're going to show him different pictures, and he's going to – he and Bobby.
Yeah.
I think it's a collective thing. He and Bobby are going to – probably have to, not probably, they're going to have to adjust to things that they did last year.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they're already doing that. You see a much more aggressive approach in training camp this year. I think that's precisely why, is because they know that they're not going to continue to get these easy underneath boring throws to the tune of leading the league in passing yards. We're not talking about just nickeling and diamond teams. We're talking about he took the boring to the tune of leading the league in yards per game and fewest interceptions. So I think that's why I think that dynamic or that combination of stats, one, it's rare, but two, I don't think it happens again. I think defenses are going to take the approach of, we're going to get up in your face. We're going to take away the quick answer. Like the thought that Dalton Schultz is going to be able to run that 5 yard Y option and just sit down in a soft zone with nobody within 5 yards of him. Like, if your defensive coordinator comes in here and that he's allowing that from jump, then his ass needs to go coach somewhere else. I mean, that's a fireable offense. Now, if you come out and your game plan is to mug guys and get up in their face and play your safeties low, and CJ hits you over the top for two long touchdowns, okay, now you got to back up. Now you got to adjust and back up.
Yeah.
But I think out of the gate, like CJ has shown and the Texans have shown, we can win 10 games, we can lead the league in passing, and we're not going to turn the football over if you simply allow me to play the position like Tom Brady and just take the underneath boring throws all day long. I'll take them all day long. And on top of that, Nico Collins catching all these underneath routes, and then he's a monster to try to tackle. He's a problem when you allow him to do that. Defensive coordinator is going to be silly. They're silly if they sit there with soft corners and allow Nico Collins to catch routes underneath. You ought to get the plan should be get in the jersey of Nico Collins. Make him throw the penalty. Make Nico Collins beat you over the top. Make him catch the 50-50 balls. Make them protect C.J. Stroud long enough to get the ball 40 yards down the field. You know what I mean? Like, take away all that underneath stuff and make them beat you with big plays, because that die a slow death with C.J. Stroud just nicking you to death, he will do it. He's proven that he will not only beat you that way, he'll make it hard for you to beat him that way. He'll make great decisions. You won't sack him. He's not going to turn it over. So you're going to take some risk with C.J. now, and that's a mouthful when he's got the weapons that he has, but I'll be shocked if some of these better defenses – Don't take that approach.
Yeah, and it's not to say that, oh, Gus Bradley's going to absolutely shut him down or any of these other defenses will. It's just they're going to have to make an adjustment. There's going to be an adjustment to what they're going to have to do.
If CJ and Bobby are as good as we think, they'll scheme up ways to get those quick throws.
Already have.
Right? They already have. But I think that what sets them apart, and this is another place where I disagree with Nick, we didn't play the audio, what sets CJ apart is he has the ability to make game-changing throws. Like, yeah, he'll take the boring stuff, but if you want to take that away, he'll throw the wide side speed cut out route at 18 yards. They'll sail route and put it on a dime. Like, I mean, he has the ability to do those kind of things. The way he beat Tampa with the two throws to Tank Dell. I mean, he has the ability to do that. That's the difference in C.J. Stroud. But I would rather him beat me the way he beat me if I'm Tampa, throwing the ball down the field, than him just slowly but surely doing what he did.
All those cuts, yeah.
Yep. I mean, I think there's going to be some serious adjustments.
All right. The truth is finally out. We'll let you know what that means coming.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we've had a fun day. The whole gang is back together from the text line. If you've missed it, we've been on YouTube and Twitch. It's all over social media. My hair is blonde.
Is that my boy Ron?
Bit of a dark, dirty blonde there, it's a thing. So we've had the good times. Our good friend Perry, with an eye, she said, "Your hair looks great, Ron. No worries."
See,
it's as kind as you're trying to be. It's not.
Dirty blonde.
I mean, imagine
Ron.
What they're gonna think when you get that thing edged up.
She kind of looks so good.
I mean, what's your barber gonna say?
Probably, damn, that's fire.
Be happy, man.
You don't think he's going to be happy?
No.
Why? It's still your hair.
It's still my hair. Like, why you do this?
I'm a man of my word. You got to respect that.
And it can't be worse than him having to work around Harold back in the day.
Nah, man. That one you couldn't help. This one you could.
That's true.
This one you did. But no, appreciate the kind words, Perry. Somebody else who I believe thinks it looks real good. Larry and Stafford, go ahead.
Hey, Clint, T. Mill. Hey, man, y'all got Ron up there looking like a wonder from In Living Color, man, and I can't do nothing but laugh because when I got on that YouTube video and saw him looking all Cisco-ish, I couldn't do nothing but call in, man. Hey, so this right. is what your ass get for going against H-Town, man, and we swept them Raw's ass right up on out of there,
Now
you got to deal with that old blonde hair for a whole month. Now all you got to do is get them old matching-ass yellow sidewinders, and then you'll be just flossing like you should be doing back when you used to go down there to Cancun and dance to the thong song or whatever, mate.
I ain't never been to Mexico.
Yeah, I bet your ass ain't been to Mexico, but with that hair, your ass might as well go and get you one of them extended stays
and
go and do your thing.
I'd kill him in Mexico right now.
Yeah, you'll kill him in Mexico, man. Look here, Clint. Hey, man, look. My old lady might catch a stray, man, the way you was talking all sexy football a minute ago, talking about them Colts need to get in Nico's jersey and then they defensive coordinators and had 17 games. Here's the problem with that theory, though. We got the best defensive coordinator in the AFC South in D'Amico Ryans. But damn, if Indianapolis had 20 weeks of tape on C.J. Stroud, we scheming up something for them Colts ass, too.
Yep.
So then we're going to figure out how to make sure that quarterback get their ass put right where he always is on the sideline. Because I see Sears and all them other boys are going to be hitting him so hard that he's going to be out again. So that's what we're banking on. And the fact of the matter is C.J. Stroud has been preparing for this his entire life. And we saw just a little glimpse of it last year. And the biggest difference is all the pieces we had added. See, when they got that 17 weeks of film, they was looking at Singletary and Pierce and Aguma Wale. Now you got Joe Mixon and you got your boy Steph over there. So now they ass going to really have to deal with something. I hope they ass do double somebody so Tank could go right up the field and light they ass up. Because remember, we didn't play with Tank. It's a game. It's a chess match. But I'll take my money on D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud any day of the week. Indianapolis, your ass is on the clock. And we getting ready for you in our hall.
All right. That's Larry. You got him. You got him feeling frisky over there.
Yeah. No. Look, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I mean, it's you know, they're expect defenses to adjust was you know the thought there and I agree with Larry. I mean nobody. Nobody is more convinced, based on what we've seen from C.J. Stroud, that this thing is real, number one, but number two, it translates to the next year. Like, a lot of guys go out there and you know, have a great year because you don't have any experience with them. Defenses really don't know how to handle them. And you can take guys by surprise. You can get that momentum rolling and have a monster year, but it's hard to replicate it year to year. It's hard to duplicate it year to year. CJ, the way CJ Stroud had success, the way the Texans won games, for the most part, the way in which they won games is specifically what it's difficult to get young players to understand. And I do think there's some in some of the things Nick said, which throughout the week we'll play a bunch of this audio from Nick. At one point he talks about, you know, the turnover ratio. And obviously that's, you know, C.J. Stroud throwing, you know, single-digit interceptions in the season had a lot to do with them winning a lot of football games. Yes, there is absolutely a lot of truth to that. And I don't believe that C.J. Stroud is ever going to have a turnover problem in the league. And so when you watch him last year, it's like, yeah, I'm very convinced that what he does is going to translate year to year. The way Bobby overcame the receiver issues, injuries last year, the O-line injuries last year, I'm very convinced that Bobby Slowick, they ain't going to be here long, but Bobby Slowick is going to have answers for whatever the hell it is that defenses throw at him. But the thought that defenses aren't going to study up on the Texans and aren't going to play to the tendencies, like we talked about it earlier. I can't remember who it was, but I saw a stat associated with the conversation somebody was having, and they were talking about, I don't know what they're talking about, but the point of the stat was C.J. Stroud was the best in the league last year versus cover three. And what cover three is one corner has a deep third to my left, one corner has a deep third to my right, and there's a middle safety that has a deep third of the field, right? So you can roll a safety down, he can help stop the run, he can rush the passer, he can play underneath coverage. There's a lot of different things they can do, so it's a very versatile coverage. But what happens when you back them corners off is you make easy for a quarter. I loved it. I knew if you're in a cover three shell, I'm going to throw the hitch. I'm going to throw the out routes, which we see CJ do a lot of. I'm going to these easy throw in the oceans with these soft corners. I'm going to eat your ass up with it, right? And if you blitz out of that look, I love it. I'm going to eat you up on the blitz because I got better dudes than you, and CJ definitely has better dudes. So, I mean, to think that just in the simplest terms of, hey, the league now knows how good C.J. Stroud is versus cover three. And Gus Bradley, I believe, is a big middle-of-the-field close cover three coach. Well, Gus, your ass gets paid a lot of money. If you come in there and C.J. Stroud is lighting up your cover three concepts, your ass better get in a two shell. You better get in a two high safety shell some way, shape, or form and at least make the dude work. So, I fully believe that CJ's going to adjust. I fully believe that Bobby Slowick's going to adjust. But coming into this thing, if you don't think that CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick are going to get different looks based on what they had success against last year, that's a mistake.
That's all they're saying. Not to say that they're going to get shut down. Now, listen, there may be some adjusting, but they are going to get different looks. And we'll see how they handle that thing. A lot of the great quarterbacks right now are doing it. Josh Allen got different looks at one point last year, in which forced him to have to change things up and adjust. So that's all that conversation was about. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access and Indy Kalu and our guy Wade Smith.
Smitty
will join the fellas there at Texans All Access. So stay tuned. And remember, programming note going forward. Going forward, that's 2 hours. It will be 6 to 8 Texans All Access moving forward. And then Area 45 with Bajani and Patrick Creighton will take things off. And according to Patrick Creighton, that today starts where Area 45 goes not till 11, but 8 to midnight, Jack.
Oh, wow.
8 to midnight, and then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and then on Friday, 10 to midnight. So live and local until midnight. All day long. Live and
working
local.
You boys damn near working at old graveyard shift.
There you go, man. Getting it in. There's still some people out there riding and rolling with these fellas, and you can do that coming up tonight. Area 45, 8 to 8-12 tonight as Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton get it rolling. All right, fellas, no surprise here. This is very similar to when Pete Rose finally came out and said, yeah, I did bet on baseball. Nobody was shocked at all. Everybody was like, okay, yeah, we all knew that. The sky is blue. The grass is green. In Cincinnati.
Ron's hair is blonde.
That's right. In Cincinnati, Kyle Tucker confirmed that, guess what, folks? He did sustain a shin fracture. After a little bit of time and continued imaging and stuff, after the swelling and everything kind of calmed down, it was revealed there was a little fracture in the shin, Kyle Tucker said, of the Astros. So no shock there. We knew, we all speculated. Clint refused to eat. Clint just at some point just to hell with it. It's got to be.
Nowhere, never in my walks ever seen a bone bruise.
I don't think we talked to Tony. 2 months. I don't think we talked to him in 2 months, and he said it 2 months ago.
Oh, Tony said that thing less than a month in. He said, "No, I ain't never seen nothing like that."
Oh no, hell no.
Yeah, so
that's not a fracture, but yes, of course, yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's no surprise here. I mean, I'm not shocked one bit. I'm a little bit perturbed, if you will, by the fact that a Cincinnati Reds athletic reporter is the one that somehow got Kyle Tucker to confirm this instead of somebody that works diligently every day on the Astros.
It's not ideal.
A little bit bothered by that, but hey, I mean, it's out there now, and we can all feel really good about being bullish that this was not a deep bone bruise.
Yeah, and I don't think this is a situation, Clint, that they just found out that it was a fracture last week.
No chance.
Or earlier this week. I think they have known for a while, and to me it's just like, why? Like, why?
I agree. I'm with you.
Like, just get out of your own way. Like, man, it's unnecessary.
It is. I mean, it makes sense. Hey, man. Like, it's 3 months. It happened June 3rd.
Yeah, it's not like you tricked everyone from like a 2 week missing period to like a 4 week. No, this is a long period of time.
The only thing it did was made him look soft. He's soft. What's wrong with him? He's scared, or he doesn't. Well, it's a contract year. He doesn't want to get out there and hurt himself. Like, it just made him look bad.
Y'all think Tuck's in the lineup tomorrow?
No,
zero chance.
Zero?
Zero.
I mean, never's a long time.
Zero's
a low number. Listen.
Did you see that video over the weekend of him running the bases?
I hadn't seen running the bases.
He was running them, but his turns were a bit wider than maybe normal, in my opinion.
Well, look. If we're talking about Kyle Tucker being in the lineup, he can have some wide ass turns.
Wide turns. That's fine. Wide load Tuck coming
look
through.
Look here. I mean,
wide turns. Do what you do. All right, Clint. Great job today. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Sean Merriman, the former Pro Bowler who joined us earlier today.
Hey, shout out to Nick Casario for coming on with Payne and Pendergast.
Thanks, guys. Man. Appreciate it.
Big shout out.
Thanks, Nick.
Appreciate you, Nick.
Area 45 coming up behind.
I'm not sure Ron meant that, but I do.
Oh, I did.
Hold on, show.
Appreciate what you've done here for a job. Whatever, let me get out of here. Area 45 following Texans All Access. I'm Ron Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby. Yuck!
Oh, Cisco in the house,
baby. Yes, sir. It's there. Yeah, it's there.
Is that Chris Breezy? Hey.
Ron the Blonde. There
hey,
is,
I love Blonde Ron, baby. I love it.
Figgy said the same thing. Shut up.
I mean, I know Figgy, did you? Hell, Figgy got three colors in his head right there.
Good, man. Nah. Nah, it's good. I paid up the bet. Nah, man, I got it.
I'm telling you, I was nervous for
you. Shut up, Figgy. All right. A lovely
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.